Wisconsin Eye's Campaign 2025 programming is sponsored by Wisconsin Counties Association, Nicolet National Bank, Wisconsin Hospital Association, Operating Engineers Local 139, the Wisconsin Realtors Association, the Wisconsin Laborers District Council, and North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters. To support programs like this, please consider a tax-deductible donation at wisi.org/donate or by texting WISI to 44321.
Welcome to Newsmakers. I'm Erin Richards, and I'm the Director of Partnerships and Newsroom Development at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I host the education segments on this show. Today, I'm hosting a special campaign edition of Newsmakers with Brittany Kinzer, a candidate in the race for superintendent of the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. She's a political newcomer challenging current state superintendent Jill Underley in the general election on April 1st. Brittany, thank you for coming on today, and welcome to the show.
Thank you for welcoming me today, Erin.
So Wisconsin Eye's mission is to inspire civil dialogue and informed civic participation. But a recent Marquette Law School poll showed that a lot of voters don't know enough about you. So tell us why you're running for office.
So I've been an educator for 25 years. I'm a newcomer to this political arena. I got into this race because I know our kids deserve so much better than what they're getting right now. And for me, the last straw was when Jill Underley lowered the academic standards last summer to hide the reality that only 3 out of 10 Wisconsin students are reading well enough to go to college or be career ready. My vision for Wisconsin is to be the first state in the nation to have 95% of our children reading well enough and at grade level so they are career and college ready. And that's what the research says that we can do if they receive the science of reading and phonics. And that's the work I'm doing right now with my 95 Wisconsin initiative. And I know that we can get there. So that's why I'm running.
Some viewers may not actually know what the Department of Public Instruction does or what the superintendent's actual authority is. Mm-hmm. So if you're elected, what do you have the authority to do or have control over?
So DPI needs to be a leadership organization, one that not just oversees Wisconsin's education system, but acts as a partner with our schools and educators. Educators, our districts, ensure they succeed. We also need to be a solutions-oriented organization that builds bridges with local and state leaders on both sides of the aisle, because we need to make sure that we're being transparent and relationship building so that we can get things done for our students. And I know right now Jill has said that we are just a regulatory agency, but we need to be more than that. We need to make sure that DPI is taking responsibility and having action plans to ensure that our children are learning.
Sure. So there's a bully pulpit here a bit too, and we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
This is your first time running for public office, but you've clearly had experiences in the education realm that you probably feel have prepared you for leading the state schools. Yeah. Can you talk about some of those experiences and why you feel ready for this?
Yeah, so I was a special ed teacher for 10 years in Chicago Public Schools. Then I also worked at the district level in Chicago Public Schools for a while. We were overseeing some schools in special education and science. I have opened charter schools. I opened up a charter school here in Milwaukee and received a Beating the Odds Award from then Superintendent Governor Evers. I have then was an executive director for that national organization for over 10 years. Then I was CEO of a nonprofit here in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, and now I'm running my own initiative, like I said. So I have lots of experience in schools as a teacher, as a principal, and then as a organizational leader.
Great. Let's talk about your primary goals. Mm-hmm. If you're elected, what are your top three priority areas that you would, push the gas pedal down on first?
Yeah, so right away, I would restore our high standards since they were lowered in August from Jill Underley. So I'd restore them to be aligned with our nation's report card. And then I'd make sure that we refocus on teaching reading, writing, and math. so that our kids can get a meaningful job, go to college, or master a trade. And then also making sure we partner with our parents and modernize our school. I have a couple. Modernize our school funding formula, and make sure that DPI is transparent, it's innovative, and it's predictable for our schools and our school boards and our parents alike. Sorry.
Involving parents, that's a big one that I know is important. Hard to wrangle sometimes.
Yeah.
But let's get into academics a bit more. So for many years, I know that you know that Wisconsin and Milwaukee have posted the largest or one of the largest achievement gaps between the average reading and math scores between black students and white students specifically. Often the calls come that this is, you know, unfathomable, this is unacceptable, but it's been very hard to move the needle on that. What could you do as superintendent to have some real, like, actual change on this front or to do something different?
Yeah, I think that's, like I said, I don't see DPI being a regulatory agency. Other states across our country, like Louisiana or Mississippi, they take responsibility for all kids learning. And how they do that is they make sure that the information is transparent and available for all of their schools or school boards, right? So that everyone knows how students are doing. They also do have a focus on early literacy, making sure that the teachers have the training they need. They have the results so they can see how they're doing, their progress monitor. I have said that I will have a office in Milwaukee because our kids deserve to have that really intense support, and our teachers and our school leaders. It is possible. We've seen it in other places, but we really have to make sure we're being intentional, we have clear goals, we're holding ourselves accountable with the transparent results, and then looking and seeing, is it working, is it not, what do we need to do next? But it is possible, and we've seen it in other states, and we can learn from them.
You've talked about reading a little bit, and we just talked about the achievement gap really between black and white students, because that one often gets pulled out. But there are other indicators of student readiness, many of which are lacking. Are there any areas that you're really focused on, you know, whether it comes to ACT scores or college prep or career planning or you know, attendance? Like, are there other indicators of student readiness that you would want to tackle?
Yeah, right away we need to make sure that students are coming to school. And that is a huge issue right now. How, you know, if kids aren't in school, then they can't learn. And so we have to make sure there's a focus on attendance also there. And again, there are schools within our state and outside of our state that have implemented new plans to ensure that our children are in school. So that is definitely one of the indicators. We have to make sure you're in school or you're not learning. And then making sure that we are looking at early literacy. I'm going to go back to literacy. We have a reading crisis in this country. And it's not funny at all, right? Like, I'm laughing because I keep going back to that because I feel like there's a distraction with conversations about everything else. Like, you and I wouldn't be sitting here today if we couldn't read, right? We wouldn't have gone to college, or we wouldn't have a career. And so we have to make sure that our children can read. And if you look at the UK, they now look at first grade reading readiness. And we have that too here with our Act 20. We have kindergarten through third grade. We have the resources to tell us whether or not our students are ready to read and after first grade. Because if you think about it, words get more complex after first grade, right? So we have to make sure our children are reading by the end of first grade, not third. We should not be waiting till after third grade. By that point, it's really difficult.
We're going to talk about school funding now. So often the policy conversation around school funding is what's going to be budgeted and what's going to be spent on schools. Superintendent Underly is fighting for about a $3.15 billion increase in funding for schools. Just to put that in perspective, that is a lot, but Milwaukee alone has a $1 billion plus budget right now. So my question to you is, how much money do you think schools need? Is it more than that? Is it less? What's your picture for that?
So as I've traveled throughout the state in the last less than 100 days, I've traveled to almost 40 different counties, and everyone is asking for a modernization of the funding formula, that taxpayers are having to pay too much because they're going to referendum. So I promise to be a leader in ensuring that we have a modernized funding formula. We have to figure that out for everyone across all of our districts across and all of our schools across the state. We need to have an increase in special education. Right now, we're only reimbursed at 30%, and some of the schools are telling me that it's even less than that. It's around 28%. And that means this year. So, for example, when I opened up my school, our first year we spent $1 million in special education. We didn't get reimbursed until the following year at $300,000. And then we had to then continue to pay for special ed for that year. That is not sustainable. And so we have to make sure we figure out a way to ensure that we get more money for special education. It might not be the reimbursement. There's other places around the country that don't do a reimbursement. They do have a different formula, but the payment is much higher than 30%. So what I'm saying is, like, yes, we need to figure it out. We need to figure out more funding for some of the schools, especially for special education, especially for transportation in the rural areas, too. That reimbursement needs to go up. So I've said that I will be a leader in figuring out the funding formula. Working across the aisle, we're going to need to work with the legislature and the governor's office and have other experts around us, because it's that complicated. That's why it hasn't been figured out yet. And then making sure that we do have more money for special education and the transportation reimbursement.
And, you know, the state has been obligated to pay at least a third of special education costs for as long as I can remember. And when I was an education reporter, I don't know how long it existed before that. But nobody ever seems to hold the legislature's feet to the fire when it comes to actually delivering on that promise. So do you think it's more likely that you could get or encourage or, you know, garner support for special education funding coming from a different pot than that? Because it just doesn't seem like a minimum one-third contribution from the state is ever going to be realized.
So I think that what I've learned is if we come to the table and we show the legislature a smart way of doing something, in some way that we've been able to, not that anyone hasn't showed that, but like when I say smart, what they were doing in other parts of the country that's working, if we can show that and see how we can actually do that here in Wisconsin and have others supporting, there has to be a whole group, right? And I think that that would be a possibility. Yes, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that we could do that. So,
yeah. We're going to go into what sounds like a favorite category of yours again. the details of the forward exam, our annual state test, has obviously been in the news lately. Mm-hmm. Superintendent Underley's department, DPI, recently approved changing the exam's cut scores. Those are the markers of the four different levels of performance areas on the exam, kind of tells you where kids are doing, what category they fall into. More than a decade ago, Governor Tony Evers, then state superintendent, had actually made those cut scores more stringent, which all of a sudden made kids look less accomplished in the next year's state test. Now we've got the pendulum swinging the other way with making those cut scores more lenient. Now we have kids that suddenly look more accomplished, which is particularly unusual because we look really out of step with other states that are climbing out of pandemic academic decline. There's really no way for us to see right now how kids were doing before. I know this is something that you've campaigned on. You've supported the idea of restoring the use of the previous cut scores, the ones set by Evers. Why is that so important to do now and to prioritize now in your, if you're elected, one of your first things?
Yeah, so I mean, this is why I got in the race, because I couldn't believe that an educator, the head of education, Dr. Underley, would lower the bar for our students instead of coming up with a plan and showing leadership, like, okay, so our students aren't making the progress that they should be making after, you know, COVID. Some of them, not everyone, right? But as we're seeing, our students who are living in low-income areas, right, are not making the progress. Instead of coming up with a plan to ensure that our children are learning how to read, it was then to lower the standard to make it look better. And that, I couldn't believe that. That is not what I believe. We need to make sure we hold the bar. And as adults, we owe it to our children and to our teachers, you know, everyone, to make sure that we are supporting our kids in learning how to read. So I think it is, and also we can't, because the cut scores were changed, we can't compare how are we doing. since before the pandemic until now. It's apples and oranges. It's completely cannot compare at all. So some children may think, you know, families will think, oh, my kid's doing okay, but in reality, they're not doing as well. And so we have to make sure that we're being transparent, we're being fair, we're holding the bar high, we're expecting a lot of ourselves, right? Making sure that we are providing everything for kids. So I'm very much in making sure that we restore our high standards, we're in line with the nation's report card, and make sure that we're giving our students everything that they need. And I want to give tell a story about also why this is important. So I was talking to my bank teller, I don't know, a couple of months ago, when I decided to run. And I said, did you know that? Well, she said, oh, I heard you're running. I said, yes. I said, but did you know only 3 out of 10 children are reading well enough to be college and career ready? And she said, oh, Brittany, you don't have to tell me. She's like, I've been doing this for 25 years. I've been a bank teller. And I now, every year it gets worse and worse. She said that she now has to read people their bank statements and read directions because people can't read. And that is someone who's working with our community members. And she said it's not every once in a while, it's daily. And so that is a sign, right, that children are leaving our schools and they're not prepared. And that's not how it should be. We live in America, right? It's an American value that all of our children can read.
I want to just be specific on one thing. I know Oftentimes you say lowering the standards.
Yeah.
As I understand it, DPI sets the standards, mm-hmm. which is like the content that's tested, that, you know, standards for content to be tested, and then the cut scores are what was lowered, right? Those were shifted down.
Okay.
So I just want to make sure we're clear on that. And then, and just to, like, to be open, is there some merit in changing descriptions of the test to make kids feel like, you know, you're learning, you know, so you're not below basic or you're, because that was part of the change too, or, you know, there was discussion when Governor Evers made the cut scores more stringent that, once you move the marker, kids look different, right? We do now align more with the NAEP, the national test that you just talked about. So we're more in line with that, but that is known as like a harder test. I mean, it's the expectations are higher for performance.
Yeah.
We used to say that if we looked at kids at the basic level on NAEP, that was really like a step. That was should be considered a little bit higher on the Wisconsin exam. Anyway, I'm just wondering, like, is there any merit to keeping them where they are? Or do you really feel like we need to shift it back to where it was the previous year so we can use that as the benchmark? Going forward.
Well, yes, we need to raise the bar again so that we're aligned with our nation's report card. I don't think we should have lower expectations than anyone else in our country. We also know our country is not scoring as high as everywhere else, right? We're in a global economy. Well, I don't think we should say, well, our Wisconsin students, they can't really make it up here. We're going to lower the bar. We know our Wisconsin students can do it just like everybody else, right? And we need to be able to track the data to see how they're doing. We just had a major pandemic 5 years ago. And so, no, I really do believe, and Governor Evers said, he wouldn't have done that, right? And I don't think I'm putting any words in his mouth, but from what I see in the news, right, that he had said he wouldn't have lowered it. And, you know, again, this was done behind closed doors, so there wasn't any public input. So I think this is why it was very surprising that this had happened.
We're going to talk about school choice just a little bit. You call yourself a pro-choice candidate who is also, you want more money to be fairly distributed to schools. In recent years, as the state voucher program has grown, more students have been eligible for a voucher that weren't on the taxpayer rolls before. So that has resulted in districts outstate, especially feeling the effects for the first time of some movement. And when you combine that with declining birth rates, now you have a double whammy of less enrollment and then less money for your local schools. So I'm sure that you've heard this as you've traveled the state. And of course, school choice is a lightning rod in our state, and especially in Milwaukee, around, you know, where the public money should be serving kids best and how to hold everybody accountable. You've talked about changing the funding formula. Are there other ways to address this perennial divide between school choice, or is there any way to assure schools outstate that they'll have some surety of funding that they can use to fund their schools instead of having to go to referendum every few years to ask taxpayers for more money for just general operations.
So I do believe in school choice. I think polling shows 60% of our state families believe in it. It's the number one school choice option is open enrollment, right? So I believe in that. I believe in our traditional public schools, open enrollment, our private school voucher program, as you called it, and our public charter schools, virtual schooling, I'm saying homeschooling, all of those options for families so they can choose what's best for their child. I'm also on record for the only candidate to believe taking, I was part of the Wisconsin Charter School Advocates, and we were asking for decoupling. So like the Milwaukee students who are in the choice program in charter schools, they're not coming off of the taxpayers bill. They are state aid, right? So it comes out of the state. So I'm on record for saying that we don't want it to come off, you know, I want it to be decoupled for the whole state. Mm-hmm. It didn't pass this last time, but that is something I'm on record for, so it's okay. Not affecting our taxpayers' taxes. Right.
And Milwaukee has done this
yes.
fully already.
Yes,
right?
And I
so
think that, yeah, Milwaukee, it's the model, right, so for the whole state. Mm-hmm. And as I was 2 years ago, as I was talking to people who were against school choice, but really it was because it was affecting their property taxes, and I agree that we should take that off. Make sure it is a state program. I think Governor Evers has said this too. It's a state program. Have the state pay for it. So I am on record for that, and so 100% behind that. It didn't get passed this last time. So yes, I want to modernize the funding formula, like I said, so that our schools can be fairly funded throughout the state.
Teaching reading, we're going to try to do this quickly. We've got a few more to get through.
Okay.
As you know, there's been a law passed calling for phonics instruction in mm-hmm. schools. At issue is about $50 million that's there for buying new curriculum, training teachers. It's in a logjam. It's in the courts now. Mm-hmm. Would you, as superintendent, have any way to break this logjam? And if so, how?
Yes. So I believe since I have the relationships in the legislature on both sides of the aisle and rapport with the governor's office, I would hope that I would be able to have these conversations so that we can get it going. And, you know, some of this, though, it doesn't have to take a ton of money either. So we're not going to wait and say, oh, we can't implement phonics or we can't train our teachers, right?
Would you encourage them to? Oh. There's not a mandate, let's be clear, right. But right. There is. You could use the platform of
yes.
state superintendent to encourage
yes.
people to start making the
yes.
shift.
Yes, and looking at like other budgetary priorities so that we can support our schools. But okay. Of course, phonics is proven that to help our children read. And, you know, 30% of us, according to research, don't need phonics, but the rest of us do. And some of us need intervention, and some of us need one-on-one. And so we need to make sure our children are getting this instruction in the early grades.
Okay. Federal funding. There's a lot going on at the mm-hmm. federal level right now when it comes to the Department mm-hmm. of Education. Mm-hmm. Federal funds only make up about 10% to 15% of school budgets. That's because schools are almost all funded by local, mm-hmm. You know, state and local dollars. But it is a larger source of income for high poverty districts like Milwaukee. We saw a big grant program focused on training teachers for MPS run by UW-Madison cut last month. If you're elected, how would you try to keep federal money flowing to Wisconsin? Or is that something you think will just work itself out? Or will you be an advocate for keeping that on the table?
I will be an advocate 100%. We have to ensure that, like you said, the 10 to 15% of federal funds still flows to our schools, full stop. Like, that cannot stop. Like, that, even if you say it's just 10 or 15%, but our schools rely on that to serve our students with special needs. Again, teaching our students who are living in low-income districts, but also funds for teaching reading, writing, and math. I will be an advocate 100% for that. Like, that cannot go away.
The Trump administration's cuts have probably, I mean, reports are that they've eliminated about half of the Department of Education. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of that has been felt distinctly by a lot of people here yet. Mm-hmm. Do you think the Trump cuts have gone too far?
I don't know enough about the cuts. Like, I don't, because I'm not in, like you said, it's not local. And I, being in the schools that I've been in, like, we didn't, besides getting our funding, but that came through DPI to our schools. And so I don't know enough about those roles. I think it's really, what would be really helpful is if there was a plan. So we all knew like what the plan was, because what it's causing is anxiety for people of like, what's next? How does this affect our schools? So I think it would be very helpful to know what is the plan and how, when I'm traveling across the state, the number one concern is funding. Because this is a local control district, like they so rely on just the money, right? The DOE does not have much, you know, we don't feel it here yet. And so what I would say is I would hope there was a plan so we could see that. So then we could then go from there and plan. So
Milwaukee Public Schools is facing some pretty big challenges right now. There's been talk of and some drafts in the works for changing a law called Chapter 119 that could change the way that Milwaukee Public Schools is organized. Would you be in favor of changing that state law so that there'd be more flexibility
there? Can you tell me a little bit more about that one? Sorry.
Yeah, Chapter 119, a state law focused on how MPS is structured.
Okay.
To do anything different, like the governance of the district, the shape and design of the district, whether it can, you know, Wauwatosa at one point had looked at, you know, taking over part of MPS into its district, and the lawyer said, "No, you can't. It's Chapter 119."
Oh, right. Yeah, yes.
So I just didn't. That may not be a good question if it hasn't come across your transom yet.
I saw that because I live in Wauwatosa. I saw that come up in the newspaper a couple months ago, right? And that, but I don't. There needs to be changes. I am in support of some governance changes, and the school board needs to be able to support the new superintendent. So I am in favor of some changes specifically for that law. I would have to look more into it, but we drastically need changes for children. We have to, right? We have to focus on the kids because they deserve it, right? There's 50,000 children in MPS.
So we're going to scoot to educator preparedness because I think we also have to focus on teachers because schools can feel like they're under a lot of pressure today. Many schools don't feel like they have a high quality pipeline of teachers. There's fewer students enrolling in education schools. What could you do with the platform of state superintendent to prop up the profession or to ensure that more qualified teachers are at the ready for these jobs that schools need them in?
Yeah, so I have felt that when I was a school leader also of like making sure we have teachers, right? Part of the issue too is that we also put barriers in Wisconsin in place of people who are outside of the traditional teaching role, people who are experts in other areas to be able to become teachers. We have got to have different pathways so that people who, like for instance, you, Erin, if you wanted to become a teacher, how wonderful, right? But we would have to make it a possible for you to do that, not putting a whole bunch of barriers in place. So there's apprenticeship programs. There's other pathway programs that school districts would like to put in place. And DPI has to be a partner with our school districts to make sure that there are other pathways. There's other ways. Like when I was a special ed teacher, and when I went to school to be a special ed teacher, I received a scholarship where the state paid for my education as long as I taught for 3 years out of my first 5 years. So we have to start looking at other programs to be able to support a pathway into the schools and then also retaining our teachers too. So.
And you, with the role at the DPI, there is some control over licensing, teacher licensing.
Yes.
So that could be an area that you could flex more authority over.
That will definitely be a priority. As I've traveled throughout the state, that is a concern throughout our state and through our country, right? So.
Well, I need an hour-long newsmaker show to get through all the education topics I actually want to talk about. We're going to wrap up here, but I'd like to just take a few more minutes and just kind of give us a pitch about why you're the best candidate for the state superintendent job.
Yes. So I want to restore our high standards because our kids deserve so much better. I know that instead of 3 out of 10 children being prepared for college and careers, we can have 95% of our children reading well enough to go to college, get a meaningful job, or master a trade. I want to make sure that we're partnering with our parents because they're our child's first teacher, lifelong champion. Sure that the money we're spending is getting into the classrooms and rewarding our great teachers, less bureaucracy, and making sure that the Department of Public Instruction is transparent, it's predictable, and it's innovative so that we can have the best school system in the country, because our kids deserve that. So thank you so much.
Brittany, thank you for coming on the show today.
All right, thank you, Erin.
Brittany Kinzer is a candidate in the race for Wisconsin State Superintendent. The election is April 1st. Please remember to vote. That's all the time we have today. I'm Erin Richards. I'm the Director of Partnerships and Development at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, also a former education reporter, and I host the education segments here. Thanks for listening and watching.
You have been watching a production of Wisconsin Eye, your unfiltered window into legislative deliberations and public policy programming, where our mission is to provide Wisconsinites an opportunity to access the legislative process and connect with conversations that inform our citizenry. Please consider supporting our mission, and thank you for watching. Wisconsin Eye, policy made public.